there, and welcome to Gems of Wisdom. I'm Teresa Moreau, your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Lauren Santerre, for the stories of Bridget's Place, as God transforms the hearts, minds, and lives of women today. Today, Lauren Santerre is going to share her insights on what it means to truly give up expectation and be in the moment with inspiration from the season of renewal and resurrection. The stories of Bridget's Place celebrate creative and abundant living in all religions, communities, and forms of spirituality, and we are so glad that you've joined us today. Join us on Facebook as well at Bridget's Place. Now, without any further ado, let me go ahead and introduce my co-host today, Lauren Santerre. How are you doing today?
Hi, Teresa. I am just blessed today. I am so glad to be on the show with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's a lot of enthusiasm. And, you know, I think that the season brings an opportunity for a lot of introspection, but it also brings a lot of expectations on people to make big changes that they may not be ready for or to behave in a certain way that other people expect them to. And I think today is our day to really kind of explore how that makes us feel, how that makes us behave, and what opportunities for transformation we really do have on a daily basis. So what, you know, we usually talk a little bit about Bridget's Place before we jump into our lesson of the day, our gem of the day. Do you have anything to share with our listeners about Bridget's Place?
Absolutely. You know, Bridget's Place has been around for about 20 years now, and it's just a great community that provides women a place to come and focus on how to, you know, develop their own spiritual lives and explore what it means to be a person of faith and community. And we provide educational events, dialogue events, celebrations like this Easter Memory of Her service and the Mary Magdalene Festival we have coming up, and all kinds of different workshops and things throughout the year for women to really, you know, just develop their own spiritual development. And we invite men to come as well, you know, the men who love the women in their lives. And it's just really an open community to come and explore, I say, you know, God outside of the box. So I'm not really a person that likes to put God in the box. And so we really just invite people to come and come and explore their spirituality with us.
Well, no, there's another way to really get an insight on Bridget's Place and also the leadership and direction of Bridget's Place, and that's to sign up for the newsletter. And I am always touched and moved to new heights of inner peace and you know, new ideas from your newsletter. So how do people get personal touch from you?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. You know, I love to write some of my passions, and so it's really a joy to put the newsletter together. And you can just go to our website at bridgetsplace.org, and there's a tab for the newsletter right there on the front page, and just sign up to enjoy that. We send that out once a month, and then some other announcements throughout the month about things that we have going on at Bridget's Place and how you can be involved.
Yeah, I think when you have a community of the type of vibrant women and thoughtful women that Bridget's Place has in its leadership, and you know, the people on the board and the people who volunteer in the different groups and circles that the board does run, you have an opportunity to visit a website and get taken in a lot of different directions. We have a blog, we have events, we have Women of Real Beauty, which is someone that you nominate every month. But the lifeblood to me of what's really going on is that newsletter. And it you know, it really starts at the source, and that's you as executive director of Bridget's Place. It really starts with you and how you see what we're up to. You know, what are we up to? what does the leadership, which is you and the board, really want to look for in the programming that we present and the events that we sponsor and who we're looking to bring in, what type of people are perfect candidates to work with us in some of our events and volunteer service in the community. That newsletter to me is kind of the jumping off spot. So this particular month, the month of May or March, as we're leading into the Easter celebration with Easter in memory of her, your newsletter this month really hit some topics that were, I mean, you felt like they were a little controversial, and then you got a lot of positive feedback. Do you want to discuss that a little bit?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, I spent, we talked a little bit about this before, and I spent about 6 hours editing and writing this newsletter, just kind of going over it and making sure that, you know, it really said what I wanted it to say. And I spent a lot of time on it because, you know, it was a really personal subject to me, and it talked a lot about kind of how I feel about the cross, you know, and what does Jesus' death and resurrection mean? And as we really go into this Lenten season, you know, how can I put that into a quick newsletter? It's a hard thing to do. But, you know, I meditate on that continually as, you know, a Christian person, and what does it mean to be that in the world, and how do I go about that? And so, you know, I just really wanted it to talk about how I see that as my way of being a person that extends love into the world, you know, and how I just had sort of a transformative experience while reading Julian of Norwich, who was, you know, a 13th century anchoress, which basically meant she prayed in a room all the time. And, you know, how I just saw that there was so much love in that act for Christ. And, you know, it's something that oftentimes is used to divide people in the world, or is used to exclude people. And I really struggle with that as a devout Christian. I think I try to be devout. And, you know, I wanted to talk about that and say, you know, instead of that, instead of this being a divisive thing, I think really what Jesus was trying to do was offer us a way to love people, you know, love people with our whole hearts. And that's what I think his life was all about. And so that's really what I was trying to get across in a newsletter. And spent time talking about that. So, you know, I love for people to take a look at that and go online. It's archived online. You can go to the website and pull up that newsletter for this month and read about it. And you can also read about how much I love flourless chocolate cake in there. So that's always good, too.
Well, you know, there has to be some levity. But I do think that I would like to invite our listeners to go to the Facebook page, Bridget's Place, and I'm going to go ahead and spell that because there's a lot of ways to spell that word, and on the radio sometimes you don't quite hear exactly what I mean, and that's BRIGIDSplace.org is the website, but the Facebook page is just Bridget's Place, and if you want to go to the website, read this newsletter and comment on that on the Facebook page. I think that we would all love to hear your opinion because, as Lauren is saying, you know, the time for divisive thoughts is kind of past. It's time to bring a lot of different and diverse backgrounds together into a conversation. And I think that your newsletter is a really good jumping off place for a conversation because it's heartwarming, it's uplifting, it's inspirational, but it's also something that makes you really think about what it is that means something to you when you look within, you know, your spirituality and the place that you hold very sacred within you. And that's what we'd like to hear about on our Facebook page. And we'd also like you to sign up for our newsletter and receive all of Lauren's thoughts and what she shares. Now, Lauren, do you have a gem of the day for us?
I do, yes. Our gem of the day today is letting go. And we talked a little bit about this last week, but wanted to kind of expound this week on that and brought back my friend Henri Nouwen to start off our gem of the day today. And he has these words to share with us. He says, our belief that we should grasp tightly what we need provides one of the greatest sources of our suffering. But letting go of possessions and plans and people allows us to enter, for all its risks, a life of new, unexpected freedom.
Oh, boy. There's a lot of fear. So, I'm feeling a lot of fear. I fear letting go. I have a lot of fear of just living in faith. What do you think, Lauren? Is this a valid fear?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, fear, I think, is just, it's such a huge part of the faith journey, and it's such a huge part of that letting go. And I love Henri's comments, you know, that we grasp tightly. And, you know, I don't think anyone on this earth could probably grasp any tighter than I can. I'm a professional grasper. And, you know,
is that on your business card?
I don't think it is, but I should put it maybe on my, you know, my little Twitter thing. I should probably put that on there, professional
Twitter
grasper.
Handle, yeah.
Yeah, I should. I really should. You know, I have to get massages on a regular basis because my little body just kind of turns into a little knot. Because it's so right and good to say that God is in control, but it is so hard to live it. You know, it is really, it's hard. And if you are educated, conscientious person, you know, you just feel like you should be doing things. You feel like you should be showing up and being responsible and being, you know, maybe in charge or something, you know, and this idea of letting go, it's so counterintuitive, right? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, in America, I mean, hang on to that job. You might not get another one. Hang on to that husband. The chances of you finding another husband is about the same as, you know, you finding a diamond in your garbage can. And,
right.
You know, it's like, hang on. And so, I mean, I've been hanging on.
I can't let it go.
I'm hanging on, and I'm not as happy. I mean, I'll just make this personal because I don't like to talk in the third person when we're talking about stuff like this. I mean, people in general, you know, that's not my style. So it's hard to just live in faith, and I see other people that I feel do a much better job of it. You know, I feel like I would like to model myself after that person, or, wow, that person's really living in faith and it's working out for them, you know.
Yeah.
And then you look beneath the surface and it's not always exactly what you see. And what you said earlier to me before we started the call, that we all have the same struggles. Can you speak to our listeners a little bit about, you know, this is a normal thing on this place called Earth?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've had so many great models of faith in my life, and so many great friends and teachers and everything. And, well, you know, what you said to me earlier was, well, this person seems to have it all together. You know, they seem to have they're close. They're living the life of faith. And I was like, well, that's true, except, you know, I've seen that person on the day when they didn't have it all together, you know. And I think the reality is none of us have it all together, you know. We just don't. And, you know, if we think anyone does, then it's a facade, you know, because the reality is it's just challenging to live in faith. I think that's why it's called faith.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, that hurts.
You got to risk something. You got to risk something. You got to be able to, you got to be willing to lose something, you know, and to be willing to lose something is hard. You know, it's a risk. It truly is a risk. And that's the part of faith that is just so darn scary.
Okay.
You know?
So read the last of that quote again, where it's, and have the possibility to open up and to, like, if you do let go and you do.
It says, but letting go of possessions and plans and people allows us to enter, for all its risks, a life of new, unexpected freedom.
New, unexpected freedom. You know what? I think I'm going to put that somewhere, that I see it every day. A new, unexpected freedom. That just sounds, that sounds better than chocolate cake.
I don't know. Chocolate cake is pretty good, but
now come on, you know what I'm saying.
yeah. I think sounds, you know, I think what's also really great about faith is that you know, freedom can just look so much different than you imagine it to look. You know, I think that's really really a beautiful thing. And so, you know, you said something earlier about a relationship, about finding your person in a trash bin or something. I don't know what you said.
Oh, but, the diamond. I had to come up with an analogy on the fly. And so, you know, that's two things that are on my mind a lot, diamonds and taking out my trash. So,
right. well, I'm with you on the diamonds part. But so, you know, I was just thinking about when I was thinking about this letting go part, you know, and he was talking about people and plans and, you know, what are the things that we have to let go of, you know, and we've all had to let go of things, you know, and one of the things I had to let go of was, you know, a past relationship. And before I was engaged to my now fiance, you know, I had to let go of a relationship with someone, and I loved that person dearly, and it was really hard. And, you know, I always joke because I say that, I've met my fiance on Match.com, you know, and I tell people I put my profile up there just because I wanted free dinners. And, you know, I didn't want to
sound like you at all.
I know, but it's true. I didn't want to sit around the house being depressed, you know, and so that's what I did. That was my goal. And so, you know, that was my goal. And then came along this person who was just not really the person that I would have ever imagined I would go out on a date with. But he had this cute smile, and he was funny, and he sent me this nice little email. And so, you know, I went out on a date with him, and I just kept going out on dates with him. I just decided to keep him. is really what happened. And, you know, he is in so many ways what I would consider an unexpected freedom in my life, you know, because he just has opened up this whole other world to me and has become such a great spiritual teacher in my life. And we are so very different in so many ways. But, you know, it was sort of this, just this miracle, you know, because I wasn't trying to control it. You know, I wasn't trying to have this big plan. I was not looking for really a husband, you know. I just wanted some free dinners, you know. So I think it's really an interesting thing what can happen when we really let go.
That's a really good story of a practical application to kind of a lofty goal that might sound, you know, very, you know, kind of out there. Because letting go and I mean, that doesn't mean that we're going to have a garage sale and get rid of all of our possessions and let our mortgage not be paid. And, you know, there's a place in there. What you were saying last week and that touched me so much, and I wanted to speak to it this week, is that when you said that letting go or true resurrection, all right, is when you give up what that expectation is of what you thought your life was going to be and what you thought you're going to be doing in it and what you thought was going to really make you happy. Just give that up. And this is a very personal and a very inner place, a sacred spot to be what really makes you happy, because we all have layers, you know.
Of course
we have layers, you know, and, you know, being able to interact with your dog or your cat, that's one layer, but that's not the place I'm talking about. the place I'm talking about now is very, very deep, that it's just really between you and what you feel is your place on this earth, your soul struggle, your life purpose, and what's really going to make you feel that you are serving that. So you want to talk about some stuff like that?
I mean, I think that's right to the point. And I think, you know, back to my friend Henry Nouwen, I love this man. And, you know, he has this great sentence that I think is really to the point. He says, when we mourn, we die to something that gives us a sense of who we are. And I think that really points to what we were talking about. You know, he talks about the fact that really, you know, suffering and death and this experience of when Jesus was on the cross, this dying that he did, he was ultimately out of control. You know, that he had no control left, that, you know, he was just giving up his life out of love. And that when we surrender to whatever it is in our life, you know, it doesn't have to be that extreme. But when we realize that there are these moments in our days when, you know, we're really ultimately not in control, but that life is kind of this invitation. We go through this experience of little death, you know, and then we are invited to rise again into new life. And I think it's this continual process. You know, this is what I've learned in the faith journey, is that it's this continual process. And that's really, in so many ways, I think what Jesus is talking about and inviting us into through his life and through his death and his resurrection. And, you know, people get really hung up about, you have to kneel down and profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and this is your eternal destiny. And I do think it's about eternal destiny, but I think it's so much about the eternity that starts right now, you know, and our eternal destiny is about how we're living our life, you know, and what are we doing with our life right now? And are we living in that faith-filled space with God that says, okay, I realize that my life is somehow, you know, intimately connected to this power that's beyond my control, beyond my understanding, and, you know, it works best when I do this process of surrender, of letting go, of saying that, you know, I will not try to control everything. And it comes through in a myriad of ways. And it's this beautiful, mystical, almost magical process that I will be the first to admit I don't fully understand.
Well, I don't think we're meant to understand it. But, you know, I have two things to say. And one of them is, you know, when you get past 50, which, you know, I'm not going to say how far past 50 I am, but it's more than a day. I can look back on my life and see that some of the major crossroads that I, you know, came upon really weren't the major crossroads at all. All right? Mm-hmm. The major crossroads had already been passed and the choices had already been made. The major crossroads that I was perceiving as major actually was just shifting into the decision that had already been made. And, of course, mm-hmm. at the time, you're struggling with the major crossroads. Let's say divorce, loss of a loved one. We all know what the big headings are that people struggle with. But
Right. Those
are not really when you made the choice. You already made the choice. And that's what, in hindsight, I see that those choices were right. You know, if I was just going to be looking at the big major drama moment when, you know, it was the choices had been made, but I'm feeling the effects of the choice,
I would probably have said, oh, no, let me just choose this. You know, but it was too late to choose that, and that's what the struggle and the drama is. And then the other thing, so faith would have worked then, all right? Faith would have worked instead of drama, you know, just saying. And then now, being, you know, a little bit more mature in the way that I look at what's going on to me and about me and around me, I struggle with intention, which everyone says you should set a strong intention. You know, you should always know what you don't want, you know, what you think about, you bring about, these types of mantras that we hear all the time. But where faith plays a part in that is maybe that you should intend to always be in faith. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you bring things about, or are things going to come about?
I wish I knew.
But I think that's a really good place to approach problem solving. Is, you know, what do you think is the highest good, and how can you not get in the way of something better happening? You know, this new, wonderful freedom. How can you get in the out of the way of something even better than what you would intend happening? Now, that would be a delicious place to live.
I agree. And I think here's what I do believe, is that I think that oftentimes a lot of those practices, those thoughts, those mantras, as you call them, are very focused on the self. You know, they're very focused on what we do. But that's not where my faith resides. You know, my faith resides at the end of the day in God. And so I'm not worried on a very cosmic level that whatever I do or don't do is going to be the end of the story. You know, I think that's the point of resurrection. That's the point of the final story of the cross, is that there's redemption. You know, there was pain and there was death and there was suffering, but there was also resurrection. And that's why I love Easter. It's my favorite liturgical time of year, you know, because the end of the story is God triumphs. God triumphs over death every time. And I don't know what else there is really to say about that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the celebration that Bridget's Place.org is promoting for our Easter event. It's a regular, ongoing celebration. And I believe our guest next week is someone who's very close to this event. So, Lauren, if you could just talk a little bit about the Easter in Memory of Her celebration that's coming up April 4th.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, April 4th at 4 p.m. Here at Christ Church Cathedral downtown. If you've never been to the cathedral, we'd love to have you come and visit. It's at Texas and Fannin's, beautiful space. Easter in Memory of Her is this just wonderful, wonderful celebration where we really highlight the women who were surrounding Jesus at his time of his death and resurrection, both time periods. And this musical drama basically was written by Reverend Betty Adam and April DeConnick from Rice University, who's the head of the religious department there, and Betty Adam, she was our founder here at Bridget's Place. And they have written this beautiful play, musical drama about these women and how they loved Jesus and felt about Jesus, and really just an amazing experience of thinking about, you know, what did it mean? What was the real personal experience of watching Christ go through this experience? And so it's a very unique, very different kind of way to experience Easter. And, you know, there's no sermon, there's no anything like that. It's kind of a call and response type liturgy, and really just a very personal, powerful, beautiful service. It's only an hour long, and we just really invite, you know, we invite everyone. It's for all people, all Houstonians, to come and enjoy this celebration with us.
And we're going to be speaking about the development of this program and the inspiration behind the program with Betty Adam next week on Gems of Wisdom. So we invite all of you to join us. Gems of Wisdom is at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can join us live or in the archives. And our inspiration comes from St. Bridget, who left a powerful legacy of love, charity, and compassion as she saw in each person the face of the divine. Our stories celebrate all religions, communities, and spirituality in all of its forms. So we are very, very happy to welcome our featured guests who share their stories of transformation, and also very grateful to Lauren Santerre, the executive director who sponsors Gems of Wisdom through bridgetsplace.org. So Lauren, do you have any final words for our listeners today?
I just want to say thank you, Teresa, for what a wonderful show today. Thank you to our listeners, and just pray that everyone has a blessed week and practices a little bit of letting go and breathing in and out this week, and hope everybody has just a wonderful day today.
Lovely. Okay, Lauren, I'll see you next week on Gems of Wisdom.
Great. Thank you.